Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers for the Learfield Radio Sports Network, joining the program. Mike, as always, appreciate the time. And I wanted to start off with our poll question over here of the day, Mike. If PJ Fleck struggles again this season, and by struggle I mean around 500, maybe a game above, a game below, whatever it may be, do you think this is a big enough season for PJ Fleck to where if they struggle, he will be on the hot seat moving forward?
Potentially. I think a game over 500 with this schedule is, I mean, the over-under in Vegas has started at 4.5 and it's now at 5.5. So a game over 500, I don't know what people want to expect with the schedule. Obviously, you'd love to win 9 or 10 games. So I don't know if 7 and 5 would put them on the hot seat. I think it, particularly if they would go on and win a bowl game, I think that would be a great step in this new Big Ten and indicate that they're there to be in business. Now, if you win one Big Ten game and you go 4-8, I think people start moaning a little bit and you start wondering, because then you would have kind of stacked a couple of sub 500 years together. So I think everyone, and I mean everyone, talking Wisconsin fans, Iowa fans, Nebraska fans, they have to readjust what they think a good season's going to be in this new look Big Ten. There is going to be a year, I don't think it'll be this year, but there will be a year at some point that a 9-3 Big Ten team is going to make a 12-team football playoff. And people are going to say, ooh, 9 wins, that's not even double digit. That's just the life. You're playing tough teams every day. There's no outs. This isn't the way it has been. Travel is a little different. So it is. I mean, expectations are going to have to adjust at places, and particularly teams that have been in the Big Ten West for a while. And so we'll see where it goes. Now, on the flip side, there are going to be schedules in particular years like Rutgers has this year, where they've got an incredibly favorable schedule, and I think 7-5 would be disappointing for them. But you look at some other schedules, and I think people are going to have to adjust kind of how they view what a successful season in the Big Ten is. Like, you look at the NFL, right? And that's the model the Big Ten is trying to follow. There's no doubt. And there aren't any 15-2 teams. There aren't any 16-1 teams. It's a lot of teams kind of bunched around 500 with a couple of outliers that are really bad and a couple of outliers that might be really good. And the Big Ten, you know, I think that's their goal. They want a lot of good games for TV. They're making a lot of money on TV, and they want to make sure that the product is good.
Ethan Kaliak-Manis, who you mentioned, the Rutgers, he's over there now. I think he's going to be the starter, right? Is he going to be the starter?
Yep.
Okay, so that'll be a fun one later in the season. But my point here is that he threw for 200 yards just twice last year. Yep. Do we think Max Brosmer can surpass that 200-yard mark later tonight?
Yeah, I don't know about tonight, hopefully. But yeah, I think he'll do that on a regular basis. I think the Gophers will, I'm not going to say that they're going to be the reincarnation of June Jones and the Hawaii Tim Chang run and shoot offense or anything. But I do think that here's how I look at it. There's no doubt they're going to be a run first team. To me, where things went sideways last year was, and the coaches just haven't come out and totally just said it, but there have been in recent weeks, I would say, some more frontal answers about what the offense was about last year. And to me, it's clear that the coaches just did not trust Ethan Kaliak-Manis. There were just too many drives that they gave up on 3rd and 7 and handed the ball off because they didn't want the quarterback to make a mistake. And I don't think that was a philosophical situation with PJ Fleck that, hey, I'm just not going to throw the football, period. I think that they must have felt that they just didn't trust that he would make the right decision. And when you do that, particularly when your defense wasn't as good last year as it had been previously, and you're just on purpose, basically, because look, on 3rd and 7, you hand the ball off. What is that conversion rate? 10%? I don't know what it is, but it can't be much better than that. That's why every team at every level on 3rd and 7 throws the ball. The Gophers didn't last year very often. They said, you know what, we're going to punt the ball away. We're going to hand the ball off and not make a catastrophic mistake. And that's hard. That's hard to try to string together wins And do it. Last week during the coordinators news conference, Greg Harbaugh literally said, we have to throw on third and seven like every other team in the country does. That was basically
quite the shot.
Quote. Yeah. And to me, I mean, that's what I've been saying all summer. Anybody that I don't think they got to go throw 75% of the time, but what you have to do is throw when you have to throw. The balance to me, and PJ has always talked about this, his definition of balance is when you have to throw, you can throw. When you have to run, you can run. And you can be efficient at both, and that's balance. It doesn't mean 50-50. It doesn't mean 200 yards rushing and 200 yards passing. I mean, clearly you'd love that, but doesn't mean that. It means when it's third and seven, you're going to throw the ball like everybody should. Mm. And they didn't have that last year, so they were very unbalanced. So I don't think they're going to throw, like, 52 times a game the way Brosmer may have last year at New Hampshire. But by golly, if you went out and got this kid and you were very aggressive in trying to lure him here, and all we've heard is how great he's been, then you better put the game in that guy's hands to win it. And in today's day, if you can't put the game in your quarterback's hands, unless you're Iowa and you've got a defense that averages less than 3.8 yards per play and a punter that, is the best punter in the history of college football, you're just not going to win a lot of games doing that. And the Gophers found that out the hard way. And quite frankly, when you think back and look at it, how much that offense did struggle, there were a couple plays away from being 8-4, so the margin of error is very thin. And I think they just got to place the game in the quarterback's hands a few more times. Doesn't mean he's got to whip it around 45 times. They're still going to be a running team. But the balance idea is when you have to throw, you have to be able to throw. And that, to me, can be a difference maker if it all translates for Max Brosmer.
Speaking with Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers here on Upon Further Review, you talk run first. They're still going to want to run the football. They're still going to want to win the games in the trenches. They have that experienced offensive line. But how is Darius Taylor doing? There's reports of injuries. Maybe he's banged up. What can we expect out of Darius Taylor later tonight?
It's a great question. Nobody knows. It's been very tight-lipped. The only reason anyone thinks there might be injury is because the open practice a couple of weeks ago, he was practicing and then left the practice, went to the sideline, or left the field and went to the sideline, and they started to ice, I think, his hamstring. I was not at that workout. I forgot. I can't remember where I was. I had stuff going on. But I remember the reports coming out. And so everyone is kind of up in the air. The Gophers do not open practice had not opened any practice to the media after that. Clearly, they've only had one practice for the general public, and that was like the first weekend, so 4 weeks ago. So they're closed practices. PJ's done a pretty good job about keeping everybody buttoned up. Inevitably, at many programs, word leaks out if there's somebody injured. Mm-hmm. The fact that nothing has come out, I honestly don't know. There are times I will admit that I have to protect some info because, as a play-by-play guy, you get some access to practice and you see something and it's like, well, you can't burn that trust. It just is the life that you lead. But I honestly don't know. I don't know the situation. They've been very secretive about it. They've kept practices pretty closed. The fact that nothing has leaked out that indicates that he's for sure out would indicate to me that he's probably going to play tonight. But we won't know until those teams take the field, and we'll see if number one's in uniform and on the field practicing or if he's in sweatpants and on the sidelines watching.
Mm-hmm. For North Carolina, they bring back this sophomore quarterback, Connor Harrell, who we saw for them in their bowl game after he replaced Drake May. He's got the ability to run. He had 17 attempts rushing in that bowl game. How do you feel about this defense going against a dual threat like this, and how do you feel against this defense going against an offense where it's coached by Mac Brown, so he's going to want to be able to have some big plays?
Yeah, and I think there's going to be two guys playing. Harrell will certainly play, but they got the transfer from Texas A&M, Max Johnson, who is Brad Johnson, the former Vikings quarterback's son. He started his career at LSU. And all summer, all we heard was that Brad Johnson was going to be the starter. And then over the weekend, Mac Brown held his news conference and said, no, we're playing both guys. And that put up some red flags for some people in Tar Heel country, because usually if that's the case, when you're hearing all summer that, I'm guessing that Max Johnson didn't transfer to North Carolina to be the backup, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't leave Texas A&M to to go sit on the bench. So the theory was they're going to bring that kid in to be the starter. All summer we heard he was the starter, and a week before the game they're going to play both quarterbacks. To me, that indicates that he didn't do enough to just slam dunk it. Mack Brown, on the other hand, in his news conference, basically said, no, it's not that at all. It's that both these guys are so good, and they've been so good. We really want to go out and see, you know, how they each do, and go from there. They are a little different. Max Johnson, the transfer, he had a great first year with LSU. He had like 27 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he just hasn't been very good since. They had the coach that was with the old coaching staff at LSU. When the new coaching staff came in from Notre Dame, he transferred to Texas A&M, and he was just pretty mediocre, mixed results there, to the point that when the coaching staff changed again, he changed again, and now he's, you know, with Mack Brown. We'll see. Over the years, I've been saying this the last couple of weeks, over the years, and again, not sure what to expect with a new defensive coordinator with Minnesota, Corey Heatherman, but over the years, when the Gophers have faced mediocre to bad quarterbacks, and they faced a few, being in the Big Ten West over the years, few guys that weren't very good, They have feasted on those guys. They have not given up much. They have been really good. They've usually won those games. So if you're a Gopher fan, you should be hoping that it isn't that both these guys were so good they couldn't determine a starter. You should be hoping that neither guy was good enough to earn the job yet, and they're still up in the air. And if that's the case, history would tell you Minnesota's handled that situation pretty good. So that's the fingers crossed situation if you're the Gopher fans, in my opinion.
Before I let you go here, real quickly, Mike, what's your prediction for tonight?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, the weather could certainly be a factor. I mean, they were notifying the athletic department yesterday, the weather people, the Fox TV people who have their folks, you know, certainly following the weather to be prepared for even potential lightning and weather delays, which I hope we don't. So weather could play a factor that, you know, I don't know who it benefits, but it certainly could play a role in the outcome of the game. I'm gonna say the Gophers will win a nice, tight, squeaking kind of game, you know, less than a touchdown. They're an underdog right now. They started as a favorite. They've been bet into an underdog, and I like them as an underdog in this one to win the game at home.
Love to hear that, Mike. That's Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers. You'll hear him right here on the Winona Sports Network later tonight. Mike, as always, thanks so much for the time. Good luck on the call tonight, and go Gophers.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it. Always enjoy it.